I'd like to begin by accusing the people in the room. I know that this is a little bit might be a little bit unpleasant, might be a little bit difficult for some of you to hear, but I'd like to present the accusation to you guys that you are simply all a bunch of problematic racists.
Heard that before.
Especially your mom.
Have you?
No.
I don't know.
No.
Problematic racist. Yeah, you've heard that word in your Hasidic Shechaida. Where did you hear that from? Yeah, wherever. Right? And I'm just letting you know, I'm really a mushy, cushy, fuzzy-wuzzy kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? You don't know me that well. But I'm a pretty nice guy. I really don't attack people very often.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I don't usually, I don't accuse too many people of too many things. But, for educational purposes, this afternoon, I just kind of like want to make a disclaimer, a warning, okay? The first few minutes of this class are dangerous, okay? And I'm going to be aggressive and accusatory. Like, that's not my usual way. You're also a racist. You. So that's what I want to tell you. Shia? You are a racist. You are a racist. And I'm going to take you to task on this, and we're going to try to figure it out together, okay? So, Shia, tell me, do you consider yourself Jewish?
I would like to assume so.
Okay. Are you... are you more important than non-Jews?
Yeah. As one would assume.
You are. You're saying you are?
One would assume. Probably
well,
so.
I'm asking, not one would assume, I'm asking you.
Discrimination based on religion.
I'm asking you. There's no one will assume. You.
Well, as the chosen people, being Jewish kind of defines being... above everyone else. So that sounds pretty racist, don't you think?
All right, you summed it all up for us. Okay? You are a racist P-I-G. Okay?
Okay. That's spell?
Yeah. Although my daughter just told me that P-I-G stands for pretty intelligent girl. Ha ha ha. Okay? So what?
Those were pretty.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the point, okay?
Non-kosher animal, we leave those with the degenerates we call non-Jews.
No, easy there. So I,
that's not what we're saying, no?
Well, right. Well, that's what I'm accusing you of. I understand that to be politically unsound, unfounded, unacceptable. How can you say such a thing? You are... greater? I mean, we're gonna try to play, you know, understand this in according to the big world community, okay? Equality, fairness, you know. So you're telling me you're basically more of a racist than I even expected, and you're very excited about it.
Oh, just clear that up.
So that's perfect. So you're one example. Okay, good. What about you? What about you? What about you?
Racist.
Okay. What about you? This is easier than I thought.
No.
What about you? You racist?
Yes.
Hey, let him talk.
South Africa.
Yes or no? I know if you're South Africa, all South Africans are racist.
He wants me to sound a racist.
I want you to say what you think. You be quiet. Hey, let it.
I'm not a racist.
You're not a racist.
Uh-huh. Is it European?
Could you let him talk? My question to you, my friend, are you chosen by God? It's a yes or no question.
Everyone's chosen by God. Yes.
Everyone is chosen by God? I'm talking about you.
I'm chosen by God.
You are. Yes. Why are you chosen by God? What makes you chosen?
Because there's a plan, and obviously I'm part of that plan, and I need to be here in this form.
Okay.
This time and
good. Wow, that's a very nice explanation. So there's a plan, and therefore you are more important than everyone else. Is that right?
No, it's not right.
Well, you tell me. I'm asking a serious question.
Hey,
guys,
I'm being serious here.
You guys have a big problem. I want some truth here. I want answers, my friend. How do you explain your... Hold on. How do you explain your world view, your world opinion? Who are you exactly? What kind of morals and values do you hold, my friend?
I hold the higher level of values, so it doesn't mean I'm racist.
Are you chosen or not?
I'm chosen.
You're chosen. Does that make you... Does that make you more or less important than the non-Jews? Answer the question. Does it make you more or less important than the non-Jews?
More.
More important. Do you believe that? Let him talk. Do you believe that God sees you as more significant than everyone else in the world?
No. Definitely not.
Really? So you're saying that you as a Jew are just as... Are just the same as non-Jews? I'd like you to make up your mind.
In terms of what?
Yeah, thank you. Good job.
Easy.
So Rafi's door right here.
In terms of what?
Guys, can you guys be quiet and let people talk? Let people talk. You're on deck. You're on second deck.
They're just saying what the Rebbe told them to tell them.
I want the truth. Yeah. I want to know what you really think. That's what we're going to get down to the bottom of this. Right? Let's go. Could you please explain your position? Does God choose you or not?
He chose me, yes.
Good. Does that mean you're more important than other people or not?
Not necessarily.
You're not necessarily. He just chose you?
Yeah, he chose me.
You're just random? You're just random? It makes no... There's no significance or purpose.
He's chosen me for a role. That doesn't make me more important than a random guy on the side of the street. Just
are you...
For a different role.
Are you above the other people in this world?
I don't think so.
So you're just the same as a non-Jew.
Yeah, but in terms of what?
In terms of being important. In terms of being significant. In terms of inherent significance.
So actually...
Are you just like a non-Jew? Guys, you have to raise your hands for this because there's too many people here. Go ahead. You're feeling the heat. You're feeling
I'm,
the
I'm,
heat.
Yeah.
I'm loving that type.
Okay. What about you?
So, fine, we're chosen. But my dad was also chosen, yet he spent the first 25 of his years of his life being Christian. So he chose to be chosen.
Interesting. Tell me this. Is he a convert?
Yeah.
I want to know something. We're trying to make sense of the Jewish people. We're trying to make sense of this idea, which sounds very, very morally compromised. I have some tough questions for you. Okay. What do you want to say first? What do you want to say?
There are four types of groups that come out of the earth.
This is a joke?
The Negro, the woman, the homosexual, and the
Nazi. You're going to tell racist jokes in here.
Go away.
No. It's not. I'm so sorry. Is that why you raise your hand? Come on.
Is
that fair?
Fine. In levels of spiritual...
Please apologize to the...
Sorry.
Dude. Okay, good. Fine. Now. No. You lost your chance.
Yes, we're
you lost your chance. You lost your chance. No, I'm not going. Now, I have a real question. Okay? I don't understand what the plan is here. I don't understand what's going on here. On the one hand, we claim we have a moral, just, beautiful religion... Moral, just, beautiful God. And here, I see things that just don't add up. You understand? What kind of business is this? What kind of business is this supremacy thing? You know what? It sounds like Nazis. It sounds like the Nazis. You know, there were those people? There were those people who said, in the context of World War II, that what are you so mad about the Nazis for? I'm serious. There were people who advanced this argument. What are you so mad? What are you so upset at the Nazis? They have the same belief system as you? You Jews, check this guy, think about this one. You Jews, you're also supremacists. You guys, you know, it's a, you know, like, you know, like the white supremacists, right? You know, the Aryan nation, Aryan race. Whoa, the Nazis say, oh, look how awesome we are, and everyone else is in the proper, in their context, scum of the earth. Yeah. Well, the Jews also. Go ask any Jew. They're more valuable, inherently more significant, more supreme, superior, important, chosen. They're chosen by God. They look down, and they are in contempt of all other, I should say they're contemptuous to all other nations. You hear that argument? Are you a racist or not? Defend yourself. Are you a racist?
Absolutely not.
Well, explain.
It's not only that racism. Racism is the color of your skin. There's black Jews.
Oh, stop.
So you believe that...
Oh, stop.
Hold on a second. That's a fair point. 1 second. Well, maybe we'll get there. But answer this question here. Are you as a Jew superior to all the other people in this world?
In Judaism, that's the definition of religion, and the Muslims believe that Muslims are spiritual.
So the Muslims who are violent, dangerous people with their militant, fanatical beliefs. They say what they say, so you're entitled to say the same thing in your camp. Is that your position?
No, because if you're doing the right thing, and from your point of view, you're better than people doing the wrong thing from your point of view, but everyone's point of view is different. So from my point of view...
So are you saying the Nazis were right?
Yeah, but it's you.
From their point of view.
From their point of view, they were superior to everyone else. They were wrong. From the Jewish point of view,
we're not talking about wrong or right in general.
So you agree? You do take that position. Everyone else is fair.
But that doesn't mean that discrimination against me doing that.
Okay, so you're not saying you're specifically discriminating against someone in particular. It's anybody else.
How do you mean?
I don't know.
This is much more than that. Inherent significance. Inherent significance. Remember that the Nazis were very good at what they did. Unfortunately. Very good. And do you know a little bit of Nazi history? I'm not such an expert. But there was a fellow named Dr. Joseph Goebbels. May he burn in Gehenna. Yeah? And he was a genius, a propaganda minister of Hitler. Who Hitler understood you can't just engage in the final solution without first developing an idea, shifting the mindset of the population. And that mindset was that the Jews are subhuman. They're insignificant, right? They're like vermin. They're inherent value. Their inherent value is depreciated. Yes. You are not even...
That's taking away human status. We're not taking away our human status. We say our... Nothing to do with physical human beings. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, we have the...
They say, look, there are humans. I mean, the Nazis understood the Jewish people are humans. It's just that they're like subhuman. In other words, they're like, they're so...
On the level of
morally, they're morally degraded. You know, they inherently have less value. And therefore, even isn't living a total life. No matter how they look, no matter how they dress, they can be totally secular. They're, so to speak, we'll use the word. Their neshama is tainted, right? Their soul, their human soul, they're awful, right? They're awful. Well, and we're much better than them. Right? So therefore, we have to, they're not for us. We gotta get rid of them. Well, that's the beginning of a very dangerous idea. And, for argument's sake here, I take the same position. Right? And trust me, you'd much rather me be asking you this than some angry six foot six Korean woman with a six pack, on a college campus who wants to kill you. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's valuable. It's a valuable the conversation because it's a good thing that I'm asking you. I'm challenging you. But you have, what's the answer? What's the answer? And which arrives us come on time. Which what do you want to say?
Is it racist to say that someone that's part of the president's cabinet is more important than you? I don't think so. Why? Because they're there fulfilling a very specific role. God created the world in order to give the Torah, and my great-great-grandparents accepted that role and continue to do that, fulfill that role until today.
You see,
so it's all relevant. As far as someone's life, everyone's life is equal. As far as the importance of respect, everybody's equal. As far as position in this world.
Yeah, but the fact is that God created Class A.
Wait, would you?
Hold on. Class A. Is Class A.
Yes.
So you can join. Anybody can join the president's cabinet.
Class A. And Class B. Great, slow down. Easy. Okay, Class A and Class B. In other words, there's like you know, Grade A and there's Grade B. In other words, there's upper level and there's lower level. What do you want to say?
So basically, this entire time, everyone's been talking about what, but not why. Why are we different from the Nazis? Because we didn't go on a rampage trying to kill everyone and take over the world. Now, let me explain. By the Yom Suf, when it's split and the Jews saw the bodies of the Egyptians floating in the water, they start to sing, and then I don't know who said it. Was it Hashem or Moshe who said, no, don't sing, these are also the creations of Hashem. You should respect them as such. And each time when we go through a korban and we say, no, they were simply tools of Hashem, why are they chastised in the end if that is the case? Because they went above and beyond what they were supposed to do and they caused extra harm. They chided us, they hurt us, they tormented us, and that is their sin. So, the difference isn't the what, the being. The difference is what they do.
Okay.
Like he said in his example of the cabinet. Why is the cabinet a fair point.
Hold on.
They're running the country, that's why.
It's a fair point. One second. It's a fair point that, who could even say that we, you know, the Jews are like the Nazis? It's not my opinion. At the same time, that you're saying, oh, listen. Fact is that the Jewish people didn't, even though they see themselves as superior, like many of the people in this room, okay, but they haven't acted on it to try to, commit genocide, so to speak, against the entire world, everyone less than that. But it still begs the question: if God is a God of justice, God of the Jewish peoples is a God of truth, a God of fairness, we must. Ask ourselves the question, why? Why is it that we're so favored, and why does God, why there's so many people in this world who are so much lower? I mean, look, the numbers are so uneven. In other words, in short, to sum up our question, why did God create Gentiles? You, Mr. Jew over there, who's so important and holy and significant and self-righteous. You. Why did God create Gentiles?
To serve us.
That clears up all the political incorrectness, right? Now the Gentiles are there to serve us. This is wonderful, right? Because we are so important. We are so important, and the non-Jews have a job to serve and honor us. So we walk around saying, Carlos, can you go get me a bagel, please? Jimmy, are you going to shine my shoes? You know what I'm saying? Then we say, Ching, can you scratch my back, please? You know what I mean? That's what we do. Right? We're walking around. The Jews need to be served by the non-Jews. And all the non-Jews were created to serve the Jews. That's a very beautiful, rosy picture.
I like it.
Yeah, Mr. Adler, tell me. Do you know how many non-Jews there are in the world?
7 billion.
7 billion non-Jews. That's right. Over 7 billion. Over 7 billion Gentiles. How many Jews are there in the world?
15 million.
Around 14 million, let's say. 14 million Jews. 7 plus billion non-Jews.
What's the
ratio? 2 to 1,000.
Say it again.
2 to 1,000.
So 1 to 500.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we have each have 500 servants, slaves. Serve me, please, you know, Mr., you know, Malcolm. Come here. You mind, you know, do this for me, do that for me, do this for me, do that for me, right? Is that it? We're created, and God creates these 7 billion people who are less, not, you know, not so important, not significant, not chosen, in order to serve guys like you. Don't you feel good about that? Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful system? Isn't God so kind and so just?
No.
Can you explain that? You feel good about that? That sits well with you?
They're not serving me, so I don't feel guilty.
Well, they should be serving you. Get whipped into shape, my friend. When you go to China, let them know the news. Tell them the good news that they get to be your slaves and servants. You just show up, come back here with all of them. Why did God create Gentiles? Why did God create Gentiles? Easy. I have to leave you out of this conversation. It's too heavy. I'll include you, but not just yet. Why did God create Gentiles? Easy. Why did God create Gentiles?
To work together. Together with us. We wouldn't be able to run the whole world by ourselves.
We wouldn't be able to.
There's not enough of us.
So they are like our workmen.
No.
Let him talk, guys. Let him talk. One person at a time. Go ahead.
Everyone has to work together, and we have to do. They have to help us do God's will. So kind of slaves, but not to the same extent.
Partners.
Yeah, exactly.
They help us do God's will, because we are the elite group of God's people who do God's will, and their job is to bring us coffee.
No, I didn't say that.
Check in with us, support us, make sure that we're doing okay. You can add or subtract, say whatever you want.
I don't know, I'm not really sure.
Why did God create Gentiles?
Yeah.
What's your answer?
To serve you.
To serve me. That's wonderful news. I can't wait, 500 slaves and servants. Do me a favor, just round them up. Can I have yours too? I'd love to double my, I got 1,000 slaves. That'd be nice, man. That would be awesome. I won't have to work so much. It'd be nice. This would be really nice.
Carry you around.
That's it. Why did God create Gentiles and keep it nice?
Background noise.
All right. Why did God create Gentiles?
Shia.
Not what he said.
I need an answer. You can even get a more thought. I like that. You admit that there's a difficulty here.
Difficulty.
Why did God create Gentiles?
That 6'6" Korean woman with a 6-pack would be the bane of my existence right now.
I'll send the vomit with a gun on you unicycle after her.
What?
Sorry, inside.
You have any answer?
Black.
Why did God create Gentiles?
Why did God create us?
To test us. Explain. Hold on. Let's let him talk.
And along the lines of what Ellie said, their background was, but more along the lines of, if we didn't have any distractions, if we didn't have anything else but ourselves, would there even be a challenge in this world? We'd just be doing what we're supposed to be doing all day, every day.
So he created 7.5 billion challenges.
Yeah,
exactly.
In other words,
about.
Yeah, these are grade A. In other words, it's a significant phenomenon,
they
right?
Know, obstacles. Their actions allure us to try and go away from.
So why didn't he
exactly. So why they live a life of misery.
So they are all
miserable creations.
Yes.
you know, so not
doing the opposite of what he's doing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Those dying kids in Africa, they're obstacles.
Yeah.
Hold on, let him talk. Let him talk.
I should have said there's no clear like a normal blah blah for
wrong.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, fine. Someone else said it. But then he was shot. Calm down. This only applies to those who don't fulfill the Sheva Mitzvah's Benino. So if they do their job, that's all they gotta do. They're not subhuman. It just depends on whether or not they
So they were also chosen. And they're the same as us.
They're
so
all what? Doing. You interact with
why are
with
they only limited to this?
Let him talk. Let him talk.
What? Let's go with that.
Yeah.
You interact with Gunny.
Why are you speaking to him
and
not to him?
Because he's the one talking about him. Yeah.
Guys, 1% of the time. Go ahead.
Why do you have to interact with you? Why couldn't he have been any other guy? God's setting this whole thing up. He's the puppeteer.
You calling me a puppet?
You are.
And
whether or not you do your job is
and
up
so
to you.
And so are Jews better puppets? Or
no, they're just puppets with a specific purpose in mind.
And other puppets have not specific purposes.
The puppets, which are the Goyim, mostly are there to test us, to make sure that we do our job, to make sure that it's a challenge. If they're not there, then we have no point in being here either. We might as well just go back to heaven.
Mm.
Well, I think there wouldn't have challenges if there were just Jews in this world.
You think?
We have plenty of challenges. Look, it happens in Mayshar, I'm afraid. I don't know if you've been there last night.
Who introduced the idea of idolatry?
Can you imagine going
into
business?
Jews can come to idolatry too.
Can you imagine going into business if there were only Jews in the world?
Because they started Muslim. Every single time.
There you go. We started Facebook.
All right. So we guys, this is good. This is an important conversation. You see,
exceptions though.
I've asked this question before. And one of the answers that I hear is that the non-Jews, related to what you said, but the non-Jews, you know, are the goyim, right? Are the nations of the world. In order to afford the Jewish people to be the Arla Goyim. Right? The Arla Goyim means, translation?
Light among the nations.
Light to the nations. The light unto the nations, and the Jewish people's job, their purpose is to shine their light onto the nations.
Hey.
Yeah? This is an answer that seems, again, you know, quite...
derogatory.
Yeah, derogatory. Exactly. You know, it's like, what? You guys are a bunch of losers, so we can shine our light.
How much we're using you.
Here, please, exactly.
So why
just like, just stand, doesn't... just stand please, silently so I can shine my
glory.
Light upon.
Pick the remains, peasant, and bask in our wonderful glory.
Exactly.
You
right?
can have the crumbs.
This is, you know, that's their role, right? Could that be?
How is that a role?
Is that
why
fair?
Would they need to be creative?
Exactly. What, God can't create? Like, what does he have to do? So many losers, so we can do our little job. Please. How do you understand that? Why is that fair? And then there are those who tell me, listen, you know, I can't explain. I don't know. Some of you guys said it earlier. I can't tell you why it's true, why I'm racist. But listen, what do you want from me? I didn't decide that I'm chosen. God decided. In other words, so you're accusing me of being a racist? You know what? I can't deny it. Cannot deny it. So I am a racist. But you know what? It's not my fault. God's a racist. Yeah, so God's a racist too. What do you want from me? So now, you know, we have a little bit of a more difficult question, right? You're a racist and God himself is a racist. That you know, that only makes our matters more difficult. And then, of course, there are the people who say, why did God create Gentiles? Right? In response to that, they say, well, you know, someone had to buy retail. Okay. So that was a little bit of another racist joke.
Cover up racism.
Exactly. So now, why did God create Gentiles?
First thing is that God didn't create anything for his own pleasure. We're not That's why Gentiles and Jews are equal.
Gentiles and Jews are equal?
Hashem,
equal.
Hashem gave us. We're all here to make Hashem's creation. Our purpose is to make Hashem's creation better. To improve Hashem's creation. As a whole. The entire of the world.
So the Jews and the Gentiles are the
both
same?
Both have the same purpose. Hashem gave us a guideline. But He chose us to give us His
Torah. Why?
He did choose us.
Why? To choose
us. Not, we're not better. We just happen to...
We have chosen.
Why is it fair to 7 billion people?
He chose everyone. We just have different roles.
Make everyone.
It doesn't make us better. It doesn't make us better.
It just makes us different.
Seems to me that's better. You chose your God's favorite people on earth. I think that's better.
Who says that's better?
That's not necessarily.
For contrast,
we earned the
for contrast.
We earned the right to be favored.
So Rabotai, let's answer our question.
Yeah, we'll give them the option to say
yes. Why did God create Gentiles? The answer is, He didn't. He didn't. When God created, Hashem created a world, a beautiful world. And He creates Adam, you look at the Torah, and God has a close, transparent, intimate relationship with Adam. In which He asks of him to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure. That's plan A. That's plan A. Be godly. Be godly. Be godlike. That is the point. This is the point of Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kitmusenu. Bitzalmenu Kitmusenu. Man is created the image of God and it's supposed to be godly.
Man is a
whole. Right? Mankind, humankind. That was the whole plan. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what God has in mind. And everything at the very beginning seems to be wonderful. But unfortunately, within a few generations, things go terribly wrong. And mankind falls to moral depravity of the first order. Violence. Crime, stealing, sexual immorality, and sexual promiscuity, and sexual deviance to such an extreme extent that the world even falls, humankind even falls to the terrible mistake of intermarriage. When I say intermarriage, I refer to man marrying animals. That's right. Say Chazal, says the Medrash, God decided, at what point did God decide to bring the flood? When the people in the world started having weddings. You are invited to the wedding ceremony of our beloved son, Max, with his beloved bride, Daisy the cow. Okay?
That's racist.
And that is, exactly. And they will be getting married, you know, in the pasture, okay, on Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Wedding lunch will be served. Okay, and they stand there under the chuppah.
Daisy's family.
And the rabbis. Exactly. And the rabbis and the who knows who, they're officiating the weddings there. And they're like, do you, Max, affirm and agree to cherish and love and respect, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, till death do us part. Whatever he said there, right? And do you, Daisy, and now... You may kiss the bride. And God's like, you know what? This is nuts. Forget this. I cannot continue. I cannot maintain a world that looks like this. This is not at all what I had in mind. You know what? Scratch it all. Just forget the whole thing. We're going to expunge and delete and just vaporize this big giant world.
My bad.
Just get rid of it and do over, start again. Okay, and God kills all of creation, all the living creations. He just destroys all of them, with one exception. There was one exception. The single human being on earth who is still morally sane and follows in the ways of God. Okay? What does the Torah tell us? Yeah? Esa'elokim hisa'leich Noah. What does that mean? Esa'elokim hisa'leich Noah? Noah went with God. There was one person on earth who went with God, who was like God. God says, okay, this guy we don't have to destroy. He's godly. But everyone else, forget about it. Starting over. Do over. And God does it again. Starts all over with one guy. Says the whole world, after 10 generations, kills everyone. Starts again. And things go okay for a time. But then things go awry again. And the world experiences yet another moral plummet as the downward spiral of promiscuity and violence and murder becomes rampant and out of control, and this child sacrifice and people are killing each other and raping, stealing other people's wives and raping them. The world has gone crazy. It's, forget it. God's like, no, we can't do this either. And God wants to destroy the world again! This is not what he had in mind. This is not the world of holiness and righteousness and purity and godliness. And God wants to destroy the world. Just one problem. What's the problem?
He promised that he would do
that. God had made a vow, an oath. He had promised that he would never destroy the world. And what was the sign of that oath? The rainbow. So God, so to speak, has his hands tied behind his back as he is unable, by his own word, to put the world out of business and start again. So to speak, God is stuck. And yet the Torah presents that there is but one man who subscribes to the ways of God and godliness, holiness and righteousness. Ki yitzave es banav es bezer achrov. What's the continuation of the pasuk? Lalechas b'derech Hashem. Lasses tzedakah u'mishpat. He was still good. He went in the ways of God. He was righteous and holy. God says, any takers here? Anyone for godliness? Anyone for righteousness? And there's one single hand that goes up. And that is Avraham Avinu. And therefore God, not touching anyone else in the world, as he promised, goes with Avram and so to speak, puts all his eggs in one basket. So the idea that we are the chosen nation is, I'm not sure if it fully accurately describes the Jewish people. The chosen nation? I rephrase that. How about the nation that chose? For after all, it was not God that chose Abraham, it was Abraham that chose God. Avraham Avinu stood up and said, I'm with you, God. And because Avraham is God's only taker, right? Avraham has the one who is the only one who chooses God. God chooses Avraham. Right? God chooses Avraham and goes with him. And we become the chosen people. And that little family, that individual who grows his little family, the Abrahamic family, the Jewish family, which turns in, ultimately, the Jewish nation, right? As we are surging in the borders of you know, within Egypt. We become a big population, a big nation. And with that, we pick up and lead in to our Torah portion. With this introduction.
So we better?
We'll get there. With this introduction, we arrive at this Torah's portion. Okay, but you know what? To honor the question, I made you crazy enough as it is, and I warned you before, you know, I'm really a nice guy. It's important for you to be able to play devil's advocate, to know how it feels. One day someone's going to ask you that question. The answer is, Jewish people, and some of you guys were hot on my tracks there, on my tail there, right? Judaism is not racist. Hashem wants everyone. Hashem loves the whole world. The whole world is Jewish. Hashem created the whole world to be Jewish. Hashem loves everyone and wants all the people, all the humankind to be holy and righteous. They're chosen. What happened? They ditched. They bolted. They unchose themselves. They said, we don't want anything to do with God. We don't want to do with His ideas. We don't want to do with His behaviors. We don't want to do with His advice. We don't want to do with His ways. Nothing. Get us out of here. And God's like, all right, what can I do? You don't want that. I can't force you.
What's the ancestors who said that, though?
Well, such is the nature of the world. Right? People, the decisions you make today are going to affect your children. Period. That's not God's fault. That's the ability of that human beings have free will, right? That's built into the nature, the natural order of the world. People have free will.
Non-Jews are born into non-Jewish families and don't have a choice. Like your dad, they can choose.
They do have choice, and that's beautiful, right? And that's one of the things I wanted to point out. And some of you guys also said. I think someone here said. I don't know who said what, right? The truth is, maybe it was you. I don't know who said. And it's really true. It's really correct. We're not racist. Anybody could be Jewish. Like the Nazis, like you said. I don't know who said it what. There was ethnicity here, skin color. Go ahead. The Nazis said, listen, there's nothing you can do that can convince us. It's not, Judaism doesn't say that. Anybody can be Jewish at any time. You know how long it takes to become Jewish? 5 minutes. Less than 5 minutes. You jump in the mik, slice a little bit off the top, accept the mitzvahs, you're Jewish, voila, you're Jewish, right there, that's it, you're Jewish.
That's not how it works
either. That's it, okay, how you wanted us the details, how you work that technically, it's a different issue. Just to make sure that people are being sincere and honest and authentic and genuine, that they're really accepting the mitzvahs. But if we already know that, it's nothing. We just make sure that they're sincere. 5 minutes or less, you'd be Jewish, really. I'm being serious. So it doesn't take anything. We don't care if you're black, you're white, you're Indian, you know, you're red, you're yellow, you're long hair, short hair, body piercings. We don't care what. We don't care who. We don't care anything. You are Jewish, period. As Jewish as me or you.
Which one?
Really? As Jewish as anyone else. I'm no Jewish, no more Jewish. To say such a thing is a terrible, terrible thing to say. Against halacha, and it's krum. For me to say that I'm more Jewish than a convert? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. Right? Chalila to say such a thing. It's krum. It's false. It's counterfactual. Right? In fact, I am also a descendant of converts. Me, Avram Willig, yes. I am a descendant of converts. My great, 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 great grandfather converted to Judaism. Where? At Mount Sinai. So, you're the same as me. No one's, we're not any different. I don't care what color you are. So, that's the short answer. You understand? Like, in other words, let's cut to the chase here. Right? God loves humanity. He created Adam B'Tselem Elokim. And all of humanity is chaviv. They're dear to God. It's the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Chaviv Adam Shem B'Tselem. Hashem appreciates, right? Every human being is dear to God. Now, He also wanted them to be Jewish, right? He wanted them to be in fellow's ways. Tragically, a lot of them went off to Derech, right? Most of them, almost all of them went off to Derech. What can we do? What can we do? So it's our job today to try to show them the way. To try to show them a life of morality. Right? A life with values. And let them see the ways of God and the ways of holiness and the ways of righteousness and purity and morality, etc. Right? That's the idea. That's the idea. Fine.
What about better part? Are we better?
Say it again?
Are we better than them?
So are we better today? Are we chosen? Well, we're chosen because we chose. But they're invited to choose. God wants them to choose.
A baby having a breast didn't choose.
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that.
So are we better?
I'd like to get to that. Okay? So are we more holy than others? Yes, we are.
Are we better than them?
Because we choose to make ourselves more holy.
Are we better than them?
We are more beloved than them. Right? And we live in a higher moral... Listen. We live in a higher... We have a higher moral standard than they do. Which makes us morally elite. And therefore, better than the non-Jews. Right?
And your own question. You said the problem would be intrinsically having specialness to them that was unwarranted, just saying we're better because no reason. Now you're saying it's because of what we choose to do.
Exactly right. That's exactly the point of this class, as we'll see.
So we are better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But not because we're Jewish.
According to that, would a non-from Jew be on the same level as non-Jew?
Yes, he would.
If he completes the Shabbat,
yes, he would, because he has the inherent Neshama of a Jew.
Yeah,
wonderful question, because if this is my son, I have to answer it. He wasn't feeling, he's really not feeling well. I have to make sure he's okay. Excuse me, forgive me. Hello? Hi, who? Okay. I'll tell you later. Troublemaker, okay. Okay, so it was my three-year-old boy who took his brother, older brother's cell phone. Meanwhile, his older brother yesterday was very sick. So I wasn't sure what. I just got nervous. Forgive me. Now, where was I? Oh, so let's cut to the chase. Okay, don't leave yet. Let's try to finish up here. Okay, so that's the short answer. And we long that the world should be Jewish. God created Jews. He didn't create Gentiles, right?
What if a non-Jew's acting on the same moral level as a Jew?
He's still not considered.
But it's not. We're not. You implied.
If he's really. One second. He can't be. One second. Let me explain. That's an impossibility. He can't live on the same moral level because as long as he's not living as a Jew, then he's not living on the same moral level. And if he is living as a Jew, then he's
immoral. There's a lot of Jews who are immoral.
One second. If he lives and he lives a fully. He fulfills all the missions of the Torah.
That was good enough.
Nelson Mandela, give a classic example of Nelson Mandela. He was
a good person, but he's not living as...
He had a very high level of morals, much higher than many Jews.
True.
He just said that it's not because you're Jewish, it's because you have...
But still, God says, and here you have to, here's a little bit of, you understand the Amunah part here, God says that these 613 behaviors make you godly. And anything short of that is a lower level of godliness.
So because we're Jewish.
Nelson Mandela definitely does not do the 613 commandments, right? And we'd love if he did. He's invited. We'd love if he got a Jewish soul and became, whatever that means exactly, became even a higher form of godliness. Remember, Nelson Mandela and any Jew, and any human being, already is created in the image of God. The question is, how polished is that image? Right? You understand? With Judaism, his soul becomes a higher spiritual value and standard. Okay? Now, I just want to take a moment to prove this to you. I give you a smach. If you look in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, there you find, okay, you can do more. Therefore, the Mishnah Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, it tells us there, that we'll leave the context and the backdrop out of this for a moment. It says there that anyone who saves a life of a Jew Well, first it says like this.
Is it true?
First it says like this. First it says like this. It says there that God created the whole world for one person. Who is that person? Come on, guys. Who is that person?
Adam.
Right? Right? The whole world is created for one person. One person. Indeed, it was created for one person. There was only one person when the world was created. Who is that? Adam. Okay? Important information. Now follow this. Therefore, catch the next statement in the Mishnah. Therefore, Kol amatzil nefesh achas v'Yisrael ki'ilu kiyem olam malek. And kol ha'orev nefesh achas v'Yisrael ki'ilu hifsid, or whatever the lashon in the Mishnah there is, olam malek. In other words, whoever saves a Jewish life is as if he saved the whole world. Whoever destroys a Jewish life is as if he destroyed the whole world. Ask me a question.
Wow, a Jewish.
There's something in this Mishnah that does not make sense. It is incongruous. It doesn't read properly. On the one hand, listen carefully. I hope you're listening carefully. It's a valuable point I'm making here. On the one hand, the Mishnah tells us, oh, the whole world is created for Adam. And look, you see? One person is as valuable, the whole world is valuable for one person. Therefore, catch this, if you save any blank, it's as if you saved the whole world. What should it say? You save any
person.
Any person. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say if you save any human being. It says if you save any Jew. Well, that doesn't make sense. It shouldn't say that. Why? Because Adam was not Jewish. It should say, if the world is created for a human being, a soul, so therefore, the world is created for any human being, and therefore, anyone who saves the life of a human being is if he saves the whole world. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. It says, anyone who saves the life of a Jew, isn't that it's incongruous. Do you see it? Everyone see that? It must be that the Mishnah is making an assumption, which is?
Everybody's Jewish.
That Adam HaRishon was
Jewish.
Adam HaRishon was Jewish. Smoke that.
And then everyone who descended from Abraham, Adam is also Jewish.
Oh, let's go with you, my man. Listen carefully. Great, let's go with that right now. You know what? I have a stand. Listen, I'll put it together for you. I have a standalone question. Even if you spaced out the whole class, which some of you might have. Okay, I'm just kidding. No, not you, Sam. I have a standalone question that is important for all you guys to listen to and answer. You ready? You've learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin about the Shev Mitzvah Enoch. How many mitzvahs are in the Shev Mitzvah Enoch? Excellent. Okay, so. Is one of the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach Pru Revu, yes or no?
No.
No.
Okay. What are the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach? The mitzvahs that God commanded?
Noach.
Adam. And Noah. Okay? I have a question for you. It's a standalone question, so you came at a perfect time.
Yeah.
Okay? What was the first thing that God commanded Adam? First thing he told Adam?
Pru Revu.
Okay? Everyone agrees? He tells him Pru Revu. Good. Okay? He also tells Noah, Purim. Good.
Sure.
You got it? We all agree?
Yeah.
Question. How many commandments did God command Noah? I'll give you a hint.
Seven.
Sheva mitzvah Noah.
Oh, eight.
Sheva.
Eight.
You're right, seven.
Eight.
Seven.
What about
Purim? Oh, that's seven. My question to you. Don't ask me.
So,
that
eight.
Now, here's my question. There are only seven mitzvah Noah. Exactly. We share a question, you and I. The Sheva Mitzvah Enoch and Pru Revu is not on them.
Maybe.
It's not on that list. So here's my question. It's an obvious, basic question. It's clear, loud and clear in the Torah that God commanded Adam and Noah to fulfill Pru Revu. How come Pru Revu is not one of the Sheva Mitzvah Enoch? Everyone, it should be Shmona, like you said. Is that a bomb question? Is it or isn't it?
No.
As a halachist, you appreciate that question? I love that question. Great question. Well, what's the answer? How do you understand that question?
They were forefathers of Jews.
What?
They were forefathers of Jews. Adam and
Noach. So what's your answer? What's your answer?
Referring to the Jewish descendants.
Shem is Noach. What do you mean? That's Noach. All the people come from Noach. The whole world comes from Noach.
The Sheva.
Let him talk.
That wasn't directed as.
But what do you mean? They are. Yeah. But they're Noach. What do you mean? Oh.
That's why it's not applicable then. It's not Shem is Noach.
You're not.
It's the B'nai Noach, not Noach.
The B'nai Noach are the human beings. All
Noach,
human
that's the answer.
So they have 613.
It's B'nai Noach, not Noach. It's B'nai Noach. So he needs to be fruitful about the class, and it's his kids.
The B'nai Noach is...
All the mitzvahs in the Torah are commanded.
It's for B'nai Noach, not Noach. So Pura Busa, there is B'nai Noach.
The Gemara's in Sanhedrin, all the, I heard your question, I'm answering. All the mitzvahs of B'nai Noach are the mitzvahs that Adam and Noach were commanded to do.
All B'nai Noach and Noach.
Adam and Noach themselves.
All people have to keep those, but Pura Busa only for men.
Oh, I like it.
Just sexist in itself.
Yeah, okay. Well, male chauvinist, that's the next class. Let's answer the question. Okay, it's a great question. You know what the answer is?
Oh, that's a pleasure.
Brad, hold on. Guys, we gotta finish. I wanna answer the question.
She's the one that's gonna
answer. I think the answer lies, and you weren't here earlier, but if you can catch this, the idea is that God created the world, and Adam originally was supposed to get the Torah, right? He's supposed to do all the mitzvahs. The world goes crazy. You know, this is what I like to call Judaism's subscription to Darwinism, okay, and evolution, okay. And natural selection. Let me explain those bombshell comments. Okay, and basically, God, we do believe in evolution. God created human beings, and we became animals. that's evolution. Okay, God created human beings, and we started marrying animals and behaving like animals and acting like animals. And God's like, this is nuts. We can't do this. Forget that world. Okay, forget those guys. Those guys are out. So, when God said, Adam, Puravu, what's the concept of Puravu? Like I like to say it in my own crazy way. It's like cloning. Cloning. You got great, wonderful, righteous people like Rabbi Krieger, right? Could you imagine there were another 1 million Rabbi Kriegers in the world? I'm serious. Wouldn't the world just be unbelievable? Could you imagine? The world would be so much kinder. So much more loving, so much more gentle. Wouldn't that, really, I'm serious, think about that, right? The idea of Puravu is that you should clone yourself. Be a tzaddik, become a tzaddik, develop yourself as a tzaddik, be a perfect, beautiful, godly, kind, generous, gentle, righteous, holy, moral, human being, godly, human being, okay? And then clone yourself. Fill the world with people like you. That's what it means, Puravu. Okay? It's not a mission just to get some girl pregnant.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
So the point is, Adam was a very righteous. The guy was shining with the light of God. But the problem was that the world went ape. No pun intended. The world went crazy. It went crazy. So God's like, cancel. I don't want that. Well, I want people who are acting like Vilna Chayas to propagate and clone themselves. No, cancel. So what does he do? When Noah comes out after the Deva, God says, you know what? Puravu, otpam, nuchamo, as they say in Yiddish. Okay? Okay, do it again. Here, Puravu, here's another mitzvah. Nutzivoy. Noah, it's all you, Noah. You clone yourself. And you know what? The world goes awry once again. All downhill. So, again, God, so to speak, has to cancel it out. And then Yaakov Avinu shows up. He has 12 shvatim. And Hashem says, pray, Reve, Puravu. He says it, we go check it out in Parshas Vayishlach. Third time, the third tzibur in the Torah. Right? Hashem says again, Puravu, you, the Jew, you have a new mitzvah. Puravu, you should clone yourself, so to speak. Right? And propagate the world with people like yourself, and godly and holy and righteous, with good values and good morals. This is the concept, and like I say, the introduction to my class. not that much time left. But with that introduction, okay, because you asked me to clarify, so I clarified that. I'm glad I did, Rafi. Okay? But with that introduction, let me finish this class with a very disturbing, quick set of observations. Okay? I'll try to say this quickly. I'm telling you right now, what I'm about to say is unsettling, imbalancing, disconcerting. Okay? What we're about to learn about is not pleasant. It's not fun. It's nothing we're proud of. But it's something which is so significant for our Jewish education. It is so important. The most valuable part of this, you know, part of what we're doing right here is it educates us to the power. And this is what you said, so important, to the power of our position in this world, in this lifetime, in this social environment. And listen carefully, my dear friends. Our parsha opens with one of the dirtiest, darkest, most embarrassing secrets in all of Jewish history. In all of Judaism. Something that no one talks about. Something that your teachers didn't teach you when you were in first grade. Okay? Not fun. Not something you want to, you know, scream on the loudspeakers. Not something you want to, like, you know, we're proud to share. It's a dark, ugly national secret. But there it is. Sitting right there. Just perched right at the first page, at the very beginning of the parsha. And here it is. Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach, pasuk the second pasuk. Okay, we'll read the Hebrew, page 366 in the blue stone half. Come on, get stoned there. Let's go, roll it out. Rock and scroll, page 366. Okay, the second pasuk in the parsha. Read the Hebrew, please. Read the Hebrew, please. What does it mean? Vachamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. Vachamushim. Do not look at the English. 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 Thank you. Okay, look at the Hebrew. Vachamushim alu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. You look at Rashi. Pasuk Yuches Vachamushim. Rashi has two pshatim. Okay? Has two pshatim. Dabar Acher, look at the end of the Rashi. Chamushim Echad Michamisha Yatsu Ve'arba'a Chalakim Mesu B'Shloshes Yimei Afel. Vachamushim translates as one-fifth. You recognize the word Vachamushim? It sounds like Chamesh, sounds like the Chumash, the five books of Moses. Right? This looks familiar. Okay? V'chamushim, one-fifth of the Jewish people left Egypt. One-fifth? Wait a second. That means 20%? Is that what that means? 20% of the Jews left Egypt? Well, where the heck is everyone else? What do you mean 20%? 20%? Where are the Jews? 20%? That means 80%. Okay, how many Jews left Egypt? Let's assume, if you take a very... 600,000. Yeah, 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. Okay, you want to take that as a full in a full number. Somewhere around 3 million. Let's say 2.5 million. You want to say take 2.5 million? Yeah? 2.5 million. 2.5 million. What does that mean to... If it's 2.5 million Jews left Egypt, that means 10 million... Right, is that right? 10 million Jews died in Egypt.
What's the Hitler?
10 million Jews. Did you hear that, my friends? If 2.5 million Jews left Egypt. 10 million stayed behind. We say, oh wow, we're a celebration. Look at this, we're so excited, the holiday of Passover, a wonderful event in our history. Something special happened, amazing, a great miracle. 2.5 million Jews left. Is that an embarrassment? Are you making a joke? We're celebrating. You should be crying. 10 million Jews got killed in Egypt, and you're dancing and celebrating that 2.5 million got out. You understand? Or the Holocaust, right? The Holocaust. How many Jews died in the Holocaust? 1/3, 6 million. 1/3 of the Jewish people at the time. We still have yet to recover, right? Right now we only have 14 million. And before the Holocaust, there were 18 million Jews in the world. 6 million are wiped out. Okay? 1/3. Is the Holocaust a good event or a bad event?
Horrible.
Obviously, right? Obviously, the worst possible, colossal catastrophe. The worst, one of the worst events in Jewish history. And here we have it. They're celebrating that 2.5 million Jews got out of Egypt. That's absurd, you understand? We should be crying instead of celebrating. You see that? We got a difficulty. What's the deal? What's the deal here? What's the deal here? And, of course, here's the biggest question. Right? Why? Why? Why is it that 10 million Jews died? Why did 10 million Jews die? What happened? What went wrong? Okay, and here I'm going to show you a Rashi that you will not believe. So I invite you to look at it with me inside. Okay? Don't trust me. Don't trust me. Turn to page 344 in the Blue Stoner. Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis, and Pasha's Bo, last week's Pasha. Ask Rashi, if you look in the Stoner, it's the second column on the top. The second column on the top. V'lama hevi aleim choshech. What happened here? That during there was choshech and all these Jews died then? Look at these words. They are so, so simple. The words of Rashi, the ideas of Rashi here, the idea here is so simple. And it's, frankly, it's shocking. It says, Rashi, I'll read it. Shehayu b'Yisrael b'osei hadar rishayim. V'lo hayu rotzim latzeit. The Jews, there were plenty of Jews in that generation. God says, okay guys, let's go. I'm taking out of Egypt. You know what the Jews said? Lo hayu rotzim latzeit. They just simply said, God, we're not interested.
With doctor's words.
Did I read Rashi correctly? Did I translate Rashi correctly? Lo hayu rotzim latzeit. They didn't want to go. I told you, it's deceptively simple. Why didn't they leave Egypt? Because they didn't feel like it. They didn't want it. They didn't want it. But finally, they're at the doorstep of Egypt. At the doorstep. They're ready to go. Guys, you know what? God's like, let's get out of here. The Jews are like, nah. We don't want to go with God. You don't want to go with God? Nah. Well, we'd rather be in here in Egypt. We'd rather stay here. Yeah, but God, you know, he's making you the offers. Freedom, Israel, Torah, Judaism. I'm Segula. Nah. It's okay. We're not interested. We don't want to choose that. So we'll choose to stay here. And surprisingly enough, God says, you don't want to choose me? Okay. You don't have to. You don't want to choose me? Fine. We won't be partners. You won't choose me. I won't choose you. I'm not going to drag you kicking and screaming. That's it. You want out. You won't be part of the Jewish people. Okay, have it your way. You want to die here? Fine, you'll die here. Guys, that's not the end of the story. Listen carefully. I'm going to try to say this quickly. It's really just the beginning. I need your full attention. It's just the beginning of the story. Listen carefully. I'll take all your comments after. What happens next? It only gets more and more, like I said, embarrassing. It's a secret. You know, it's like, oh, the Jews left Egypt. No, they didn't. Only 1/5 of the Jews left Egypt. Everyone else died in Egypt. Most of the Jews did not leave Egypt. Right? I told you it's a dirty secret. But then they get into the desert. And then what happens? Well, once they're in the desert, right? They get to Har Sinai. Right? They get to Har Sinai and there's a scene of the golden calf. And the Jews sin by the golden calf and Moshe says, hey! What? He comes down furious. Angry. Guys, anyone, who's with me? Anyone choose God here? Does anyone want to choose God? And you know the story. Precious, precious few Jews, only from the B'nai Levi, raised their hand and said, you know what? We want to be with God here. The rest of the Jewish people were punished. Were punished. They were involved in the sin of the golden calf. Embarrassing, disgraceful. Oh, but that's not the end of the story. It gets worse. Much worse. Much worse. We arrive at arguably the worst sin. The worst sin in Jewish history. When the Jewish people, when we go to the sin of the spies, when God says, okay guys, here's what I want from you. Right? Here's the plan. We're gonna go into Israel and we're gonna move in, you know, to our dreamland. Dreamland. Oh, dreamland, like some of my students. Dreamland, Dreamland, Dream House, Dream Palace, Dream Life, Dream Nation. It's going to be awesome, right? And the Jewish people say, "Nah, we don't want that guy. We don't want that. We'd rather die in the desert, right?" And God says, "Really? Like, yeah. We don't want you, God. We don't want you. We don't want you." And you know what? God says, "Okay, if that's what you really want, right?" And the Jewish people die. And here comes the most shocking statistic I'm going to tell you the whole day. Or one of the most shocking facts. Of the, let's say, 10 million people who are supposed to leave Egypt, right? Or you want to call it just men. Let's call it just men between the ages of 20 and 60, okay? So there are what? About 2.5. There were 600,000 who stood at Mount Sinai, right? Let's do the math. There were 600,000 who stood at Mount Sinai, which means there are roughly 2.5 million who, right? If that's 1/5 of the group that was left behind, right? So around roughly 2.5 million people were supposed to leave Egypt, correct? Or stay behind, right? Right? Correct? Correct? Mm-hmm. Am I wrong? Right? Supposed to leave Egypt. Only 600,000 of them, of 2.5 million, only 600,000 of them make it to Mount Sinai. Of those 6,500, how many of them crossed the border into Israel?
Two.
Their names? Yoshua and Caleb. And it's shocking. Excellent. It's a shocking observation. Shocking! Shocking! From 2.5 million people, gets whittled down to two contestants, two people who are takers, who still choose God. What do you mean? Yes.
People underage
20 of the age of 20 and 60. That's how the Torah counts them. I get it.
That's 600,000, not
out of
2.5 million.
No, you didn't hear me. 600,000 was 1/5 of the people in their category who did not leave Egypt, right? So 600,000 times 5 is what?
3 million.
It's about 2.4. Right? Am I wrong?
About
3 million? Something like that? 3 million? I'm sorry? Yeah, about 3 million. Exactly. That's 604. That's 5, right? So it's so those people remain behind. 600,000 leave. Of the ages just between 20 and 60. Of those 600,000. Of those 3 million. Yeah. Of those 600,000. 600,000 make it out of Egypt, between men between the ages of 20 and 60. Of those 600,000, only 2 of them cross into Israel. That's a massive drop. Only 2. And I think to myself, oh, God must have been broken. You know what? God's a nice Jewish, he has the Jewish business acumen, right? He doubled his money. He only had one guy. Noah, he only had one guy. Now he has two. Yeshua and Kali, that's worth something. You see that? Isn't that a tragedy? Guys, isn't this a tragedy? Right? And remember, like I told you before, God came to every nation on earth and said, guys, I want to give you the Torah. They said, no. Only the Jewish people, the only people. You see what's happening here, guys? We see the story. But that's not the end of the story. We're going to have to end it for now, here. So we have to stop this class. That's not the end of the story. The difficult and painful and challenging end of the story is that there have been many, many years since then and now. Many, many years. And we're all the Jews. You know what we just said? There were 3 million Jews who left Egypt. How many years have passed since then? You understand what's going on? Is it 3,000 years ago? More. 3,300 years ago. There are 3 million then. How many Jews should be in the world today? There should be about 500 million Jews. There should be. You understand? One of the oldest civilizations that's still around. And how many Jews are there? There's 14 million Jews. Where the heck are all the Jews? Where are they? Where are they? So it's true. A lot of them were killed and murdered along the way, as we know, unfortunately. But that's That's not the majority. That doesn't make up for most of them. The majority of them have chosen themselves out of Judaism. My friends, this business of the chosen people is a very dangerous idea and can be a big mistake. You meet Jews, I know I meet Jews, who walk around patting themselves on the back saying, hey, look how cool, I'm awesome. I am awesome, I'm Jewish, I got the Jewish brains, I got the Jewish genes, I got the Jewish bank account, I got the Jewish money, you know, I got the Jewish nose, but I got the Jewish, whatever they got, right? And they think, look how cool I am, I'm amazing, I'm Jewish, right? Look, I have it, I'm set, I'm in the Jewish, I have it in my blood. Guys, I got ugly and difficult news for you. And if you'd be smart, you'd take it in to your mind. Take what I'm about to say with two hands, okay? Hold on to it. Remember what I'm telling you. Do not forget what I'm sharing with you right here, okay? And I'm so, you forgive me for this following thing sounds a little bit off color, okay? This is the way I would say it to my, you know, to my students at Eresh HaTorah, okay? But maybe right now you think you're set. You think, oh man, look, I'm made. You know, I got it. I'm cool. Look how great. I'm cool. I'm Jewish, right? Well, that's nice. But, you know, you get back to New York or wherever else you might go, Africa, right? You make one wrong move on the dance floor, you're paying child support, my friend. Okay? And you pay child support, well, you know, the moral guy that you are, you're going to marry the girl. You know what I'm saying? Do I need to say more than that? You're going to marry the girl. You mess around, you're going to have one bad night, have one too many drinks with the wrong person, you end up marrying a non-Jew. You marry a non-Jew, that is the bitter end of your existence. You understand? All of those wonderful generations of holiness and righteousness flushed, disintegrated, gone, finished. Why? Because you're no longer chosen. Don't ever say, hey, I'm the chosen people. I'm the chosen nation. God got my back. Oh no, that's not true. You're only chosen if you choose yourself in. Don't make the mistake like so many Jews until now, waking you up violently here. This should be shocking to you. And it should be, and it needs to be. Don't make the mistake like, yeah, whatever, I'll mess around, who cares, you know, whatever, I'm set. No, you're not. You have no guarantee about anything. You have no Jewish future unless you create one for yourself. Zero. You have zero. Unless you create something, but you're not chosen for anything. The only way that you can make sure that you're going to have a Jewish future is if you choose actively, choose passionately, choose yourself in, accept God, accept the ways of God, accept the ways of the Torah, become God, become righteous, become holy. What are the awful statistics? What are the statistical chances of your grandchildren as a Jew today in this world, your grandchildren being Jewish? The Jew today in the world, what is the statistical probability of any Jew today as grandchild being Jewish? The answer, grandchild, infinitesimal, tiny. The chance of your grandchildren being Jewish, it's tiny, tiny percent. Tiny, tiny chances. Yeah, that's the truth. Those are the statistics. So what's going to change? What's going to make that? What's going to change that? Only one thing can change that. If you are like a wild, you know, spiritual wild man, right? You actively, you know, make choices with passion and conviction, choosing yourself, choosing for yourself a life and a lifestyle of godliness, of righteousness, of holiness, of Judaism in its, you know, in its most pure form. That is the way we will be chosen. That is the way you will make sure, right? You will choose yourself in and choose your children into the picture, into a world of righteousness and holiness and godliness and Judaism. So I bless each and every one of us. I bless you and bless me back. I bless you and bless me back. That we're zeichah to siyata d'shmaya. We're zeichah to v'harev na Hashem, to taste the sweetness, the beauty, the grandeur of Yiddishkeit, of Judaism. To be able to have the wherewithal to make that commitment and that investment to include ourselves and to continue to make sure to include our children, Bezerah Kodesh, Bezerah Yisrael, that goes in the way of, you know, B'darkei Avos, B'derech Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. And Hashem should give us the inspiration and the dedication to be able to be Nivchar and to make sure to be able to maintain the Amah Nivchar. And we should be Zeichah to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim Barab. Thanks for listening.